World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So, man, I've been anxious to get down here into this multi-million dollar studio this morning. I've been working on something. That's not true. I haven't been working on something. The Lord's been working on something. Some of you, whether you know this or not, a few days ago, maybe it's almost a week ago now, our buddy Trent, who's down in Alabama, I think, Trent said, hey, Coach Dave, would you do a teaching on Ephesians 1? And so I've been kind of running in place because every time I get ready to do that or prepare that, man, I dig into something else. I said, I can't do that till I do this. And so I'm going to give you all fair warning today. Going to be a lot of Bible today. If you came in to hear about Trump, if you came in to hear about Elon Musk, and you came in to hear about how corrupt the government is, well, you can tune out today. I'm going a lot of Bible today, folks. A lot of Bible today. Now, again, I want you to ask yourself this, all of you, as we come down here and we lay down our swords against each other, ask yourself this. Where did you learn your theology? Where did you learn it? Whatever it is, your deeply held religious beliefs, what are the foundations of them? And I think I've told this story before. Excuse me, I keep clearing my throat. That when I got born again, by the way, still written in my Bible, right here at the very front of my Bible, the night I was born again at World Harvest Church, January 28th, my wife's birthday, January 28th, 1987. January 28th, 1987. Let me back up a minute. I received Christ initially at a Billy Graham crusade in 1963, I believe, when he was in Columbus, Ohio. He was doing an event at Jet Stadium then, and we went. My mom always met my mom, I was raised a Catholic. My mom was a Protestant. She was a spiritual mutt. She changed churches all the time. And Dad was always faithful to raise, although Dad didn't understand Catholicism. He didn't understand it. And so Dad did the best he could raising us Catholics, taking us to catechism, yada, 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 all that stuff. And then Billy Graham crusade in 1963, I think, I might have it wrong. I went to Billy Graham, walked the aisle, did the thing that you do at Billy Graham crusade. And then I was drugged back up on the beach and allowed to rot for a long time. And I lived like a good Catholic boy, whatever that means. Is there such a thing as a good Catholic boy? Is there a good Protestant boy? But anyway, I met Jesus in 19. I really met him. I mean, like I really met him in 1987. I met him. I met Jesus. Got born again. Born again. Now, Ron Canole sang a song. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. So if it hasn't happened to you, then you can't understand it. You can't. And there are a lot of people who are walking around in church who ain't got any idea. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Holy Spirit even exists. In fact, when Paul, in the book of Acts, I got a little bit of theology in me, okay? So bear with me. Trust but verify. I think it was Paul, showed up with a group of guys who had just been born again. And Paul said to him, somebody can trust but verify out there. Paul said to them, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And does anybody know what they said? They said, huh? Holy Spirit? The heck's that? Telling you the truth. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are. But one of the problems is we have so, spiritualized the born again experience, you know. Once you get born again, then you're charismatic and you wave flags and you speak in tongues and, you know, right? Well, that's kind of the reality of it. But the average person, Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. And ask yourself this, are you that? Are you a witness to your Jerusalem and your Judea and to the othermost parts of the earth. By the way, if you are, you should, I've said this many times, Jerusalem is your hometown. Are you a witness in your hometown, Jerusalem? Well, if you are, then you can go to Judea. That's the county over. Then you can go to Judea. And then after you've done it in Jerusalem, become a witness in Jerusalem, in your hometown, and then you become a witness in Judea, your neighboring town, or like Columbus, then the state of Ohio, now you're free to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. But you shouldn't be going to the uttermost parts of the earth if you haven't been a witness in Jerusalem and Judea first. So look at this. Thanks, Spencer. I'll send you a dollar. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria, and then to the othermost parts of the earth. So in other words, if we were to do that today, you're going to be a witness in Hebron. You're going to be a witness in Ohio. You're going to be a witness in the United States. And then you can go overseas. That's the way I read it. That's the cycle. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and out of sight. Boom. But if you receive power, you shall receive power. Do you have power? Is there power in your life? Are you just kind of religious? Following rules and regulations, and is there power? Or is it what we would call potential energy? You have power, nobody ever told you that you had it. Bear with me here, okay? It's gonna be a lot of a monologue here, just off, because I'm trying to take all of us somewhere, right? Because I'm gonna tell you, this happened to me. And I'm only doing this today because I've been prompted by Trent, who said, Coach, read, describe Ephesians 1 to us. And when I looked at Ephesians 1, I said, dude, I can't do that because they don't understand this, which is what all of Ephesians 1 is about. What I'm going to talk about today, to lay the groundwork to talk about Ephesians 1. Now, understand this. I am not a theologian. Okay, I'm not. I could be wrong. I read, I study, I verify, I read, I study, I verify. But the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. So the stuff I'm going to lay out there today that we're going to chew on and discuss, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Ask yourself this. You've been going to church your whole life. Are you a witness unto Jerusalem? Are you a witness in your Jerusalem and your hometown? Are you? I know this. This sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging, okay? People in my hometown are scared of me. And they really have no reason to be, other than always know this, it's your reputation precedes you, right? So a lot of us are caught in that trap. They remember who I used to be. Well, I'm not him anymore. I got born again. What happened? Yeah, I got born again. What do you mean you got born again? See, we don't even understand the very basics of that in most of Christianity. And then what happens to you after you get born again? Okay, Coach, shut up. So here's where I'm going to go. I want to go with you today. You're welcome to break in at any time, but I would ask you right now, just give me a little bit of time to lay a basis here. By the way, I don't know how this works. If you're watching on the Patriot Party news, you're not going to find us on Rumble anymore. You're not. Spencer, where are they going to find us on the Patriot Party News? They're going to find us on Patriot Shoot. Is that where it is, Spence? Is that where they are? TubePatriot.com. TubePatriot.com. Or you can find it right here, Coach Dave Live. It doesn't matter. But I've been giving Spencer and those guys a hard time. I said, we're not on Rumble anymore. What's going on? We're not on Rumble. Well, we are, but not on the Patriot Party News. Well, the Patriot Party News has moved off of Rumble, and they're on their own thing called Patriot Shoot. They've started their own channel. And by the way, you can get a channel. You can get a channel at Patriot Shoot. If you do videos and like to post them and all that stuff, you can do that. You have to join. You have to pay a little bit of a fee. But Spencer told me today, for us to continue, Tube Patriot, thank you, Tube Patriot, for us to continue to stream on the Patriot, $1,000 a month or something like that. Well, I ain't gonna pay that, right? I'm not criticizing. That Rumble would charge that, not the Patriot Party News. So if you're having a hard time, find us, CoachDaveLive.com. We're always there, and Facebook, we're always there. You can always find us there. So cool. All right. I never got this. Is that where I want to start, Lord? Is that where I want to start? By the way, watch this. I'm going to throw this because this isn't Bible. We're going to find out here real soon, folks. Is there any gold in Fort Knox?
Boom.
Uh-oh. Have they pulled another one fast on it, huh? You know, ain't nobody been, nobody. U.S. banks flying, do you know that the banks are flying gold back from London? Probably the Vatican. Is there any gold in Fort Knox? We're going to find that out soon. Oh, they hate Elon. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. All right. Look. Everybody out there can say the Lord's Prayer. Lord, just direct us here, will you? Thank you, Lord. Friends, I'm gonna try to reveal something to you, unveil something to you today that the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. I'm not the originator of this, okay? If I'm gonna ask you this right now, what's the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. What? Thy kingdom come. Lord, I thought when we died, we went to the kingdom. Because when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, "Are you a king?" I could show you a clip on that. I'm not going to. He said, "Are you a king?" Pilate said to Jesus. Does anybody know what Jesus said? Jesus didn't say, no, you got the wrong boy. I ain't no king. Anybody know what he said? He said, my kingdom's not of this world. He didn't say he wasn't a king. He said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You can't see it. But if you dig deep into the scriptures, you ask yourself this question. What's the kingdom of God? Okay, well, I'm going to play something for you here real quick. Folks, this is going to be really good, okay? Spencer, pull up. Jesus answered. Spencer, I'm going to send you $5. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. It's another worldly kingdom. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom. It ain't here. It ain't here, dudes. Spencer, good catch. I remember when I just first got born again, first got saved is what they call that. Oh, I did get saved too. Man, did I ever know that. Ron Canole, you guys ever heard Ron Canole? Pull that up there, Spencer. Wait a minute, Spence. Before I do that, Spencer, go back. Sorry, folks, I got to do this. Bear with me. Pull up 319 times. Pull that up, Spencer. It says 319 times. Maybe we ought to take notice of this, friends. King James Bible. The King James Bible mentions kingdom 319 times. And he said unto, is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And the people knew they knew it, followed him and received him and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. But I tell you the truth, there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God, and healed the sick there then, and saying to them, the kingdom of God is coming to you, come nigh unto you. Even the very dust of your feet, city, I can't do this for 319 times, but all throughout the Bible, Jesus and the apostles speak about the kingdom of God. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, whoa, as in heaven. But wait a minute. Kingdom of God? Heaven? They're not the same thing? But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house or kingdom divided, wow. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come. What? But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he said unto, what is the kingdom of God like? And he said again, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Adam and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, sit down in the kingdom of God. Folks, this is not heaven. Oh, I'm shaking some theology now. And when one of them that sat at the meal heard them say these things, he said, and blessed is he that eat the bread in the kingdom of, folks, they ain't in heaven. Now, do me a favor, Spencer. Let's get the heck out of Luke. Because everybody's going to say, well, it's just Luke's the one saying that, Coach. It's just Luke. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Book of Acts? And when they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will they at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in truth, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God, here on earth, by the way. And he went into the synagogue, spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Folks, there's something to this kingdom of God. It's in the book of Acts. Keep on going. How many times did I say? 319 times. For the kingdom? Uh-oh. Are you sitting down? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, meaning you can't touch it, feel it, smell it. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers. Folks, this is something, kingdom of God, something here in this natural realm, I think. Okay, so I could go on and on. I'm not going to. Don't have time to do 319 times. But I want to introduce this thought to you. Okay? Help me, Lord. What if the kingdom of God... I don't want to say this. What if the kingdom of God is a reign and not a realm? I'll say it again because you didn't get it. What if the kingdom of God is a place? I hate to even use it. See, we think time, space, continues. We think that, right? What if the kingdom of God is an area upon which the rule of God holds sway?
Boom.
What if the kingdom of God is an area where he reigns, not a place where you go? Thy kingdom come. When his kingdom comes, his will be done. Where? On earth. Ron Canole did a song years ago. Pull that up there for me. And it just after I got saved. Yeah, I got saved. I got born again. I received the Holy Spirit. I was a dead man walking, and then I received the Holy Spirit of God. Come on, Spence. I'm sorry, Spence. I think Spence is keeping up with me. It says Ron Canole. Third one just says Ron Canole. Ron Canole. Did I not send that to you? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Ron Canole. Spencer, I'm sorry, Ben. It's there. I'm going to send it to you again. I see right here it's been sent to Jared. But I'll forward it to you again. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. In other words, it is a reign of where the things of the world cannot penetrate you. The kingdom of God is within, the Bible says. Right? Jesus said, I'm in this world, but I'm not of the world. By the way, I got born again. I'm in the world, but I ain't of it. So this is Ron Canole years ago. We won't play it all. Did you go notice the scripture? What scripture is this? What scripture verse? Romans, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I got to lay a foundation here. Romans what? Romans 14, is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost?
17.
7?
17.
14, 17. Let us follow. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not stuff. By the way, the modern American church is teaching you to pray for meat and drink. Are they not? Huh? Stuff, stuff, stuff. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you know what comes with it? Righteousness, peace, and joy. It is a realm, not a place. It's a reign. I'm sorry. It's a reign. Who reigns in your heart? It is not someplace you go. It is something that comes in you. Ron Canole, go and play it. Just a little bit of it.
Righteous.
Peace in the storm. That's righteousness. Peace and joy.
Righteousness. Everybody, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you
let him rule in your heart then.
Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Well, come on. Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
Oh, thy kingdom come. Oh, stop. Okay, Spencer. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. It's within you. What's within you? Righteousness, peace, and joy. No matter what you're going through, you are established to the reign, the rule and the reign of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It isn't someplace you're going. Will eventually. But when you eventually go to what we call heaven, it's because you're already attached to the kingdom. And we're supposed to have kingdom principles ruling here on earth. That's what it means to expand the kingdom of God. What? To put into the hearts of everybody we come in contact with the Holy Spirit of God, which brings righteousness, peace, and joy in their life, no matter what their situation is. And we have been teaching a God, well, I'll make some of you mad. We've been teaching the gospel for a long time that the kingdom of God is someplace you're gone, when the Bible says just the opposite. Thy kingdom come. Because it's a what? It's not a realm. It's an area where he rules. He reigns. Does Christ rule and reign in your heart? Then you're connected to the kingdom of God. Already you are. This is not to be mischaracterized with heaven. They are not the same thing. Oh, dudes. See, the New Jerusalem. Oh, I want. They went to Book of Revelation. Spencer, let's see how good you are. Maybe I have it here someplace. They went to Jesus. They were in heaven. And they said, show me the kingdom. Show us the kingdom. And that's in Revelation, Book of Revelation. Revelation 2. Oh, I can't believe I didn't put it up here. Anybody know where it is? He said, come, show me the kingdom. I'm sorry. I got you wrong. Show me the bride. Is the church the bride of Christ? Are we the bride of Christ? Well, that would be good. They've taught us that forever and ever and ever and ever. Wouldn't you think the Bible would say that? That we're the bride of Christ. Just Google that, Spencer. Bride of Christ. Just Google bride of Christ. Well, I know you think I'm treading on apostles.
Coach, Revelation 21, 2.
Thank you. Revelation 21, 2. Revelation 21, 2. And John, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, just coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't want to get into a big argument, but I think that's the bride of Christ right there. Hey, Spencer. He said, hey, show me the bride. Where is that? Hey, show me the bride. Is that Revelation? Is that 2:1? 21:1? Is that 21:1? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the why? See the realms, a new heaven and a new earth for that realm has passed away. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there's no more sea. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't want to get in a fight, but my whole life they've taught me that the church is the bride of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I look and look and look, and I don't find that. Now, Spencer, where does it say, show me the bride? Show me the bride. Show me the bride. Hey, show me the bride. Oh, daggone it. It's Randy. Come on, Randy. Help me out. 21:9. Bible says that I believe it. That settles it. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, hey, dude, come on. Come here. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Am I doing okay so far? Am I trusting me so far? I'm just using scripture. Hey, will you show me the bride? Will you show me the bride? And so he took him down and he showed him the church. What? Yeah. He took him and showed him the church? No. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. By the way, just curious, somebody help me out here. I'm just an old Catholic boy. Don't we get invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Do we get invited to it? Hang on, let me ask you something. If you're the bride, you have to be invited to your own wedding? We're missing something here, folks. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. It's within you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Come, I'll show you the kingdom. So I don't know what the bride of Christ is. I know what they taught us. They taught us that the bride of Christ was the church. Which denomination? Which of the 44,000 denominations is the bride? I would say, well, coach, it's the universal one. Oh, all right. Can two walk together unless they agree? We need to ask ourselves. You need to ask us. I need to ask myself. Am I part of the kingdom of God? Is that someplace I'm going? I don't get to the kingdom of God till I die. Hey, look, I know this is earth shaking for some of you. Let's find somebody smarter than me. Pull up number five. What does R.C. Sproul say? I don't know if you agree with him, or you don't agree with him because he's not your denomination. What's the kingdom of God, R.C.? By the way, I did this research today. You can do it just as easily. What's the kingdom of God? Suppose someone asks you that question, what's the kingdom of God? Coach Dave's asking it right now. What's the kingdom of God? How would you respond? The easy answer would be to note that a kingdom is that territory over which a king reigns. Jesus stood before Pilate. What did he say? My kingdom is not of this world. Since we understand that God is the creator of all things, the extent of his realm must be the whole world manifestly, then the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns. And since he reigns everywhere, the kingdom of God is everywhere. It is. He said, go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I commanded you. Expand the kingdom. The kingdom's come. What? Kingdom is a kingship, not a place. I'm not mad. It just seemed like it. He reigns everywhere. The kingdom of God is everywhere. The problem is, we've been taught in Christianity that this old world's going to burn and we're going to be taken out of here. There's a new Jerusalem coming down, right? His kingdom's coming down. It's a spiritual thing, folks. It's not a physical thing. However, maybe at the second coming, he makes all things new. And maybe there is a new physical realm here on. I'm just thinking out loud. I didn't go to cemetery. I'm just thinking out loud. I can read. But I think my pastor was getting at something else. Certainly the New Testament comes at something else. We see this when John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness with his urgent announcement, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Time out a minute. Can somebody tell me what it means when something's at hand? Hey, Randy, you got a hammer? Yeah, I got one right over here, coach. It's at hand. Hey, Michelle, what time's dinner going to be ready? It's at hand. It means it's imminent and available always. It's at hand. Anybody think I'm lying? I'm just reading. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Hey, when you repent, the kingdom enters into you, or you enter into the kingdom. We see it again when Jesus appears on the scene with the same pronouncement. If the kingdom of God consists of all the universe over which God reigns, why would anyone announce that the kingdom of God has already come? Obviously, John the Baptist meant something more than what we think as the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Remember, it's a reign. It's a reign. It's not a place. It's the place where God reigns and rules. And it's inside you, and it's everywhere. And it's invisible, and it's not a place, and we can't understand it because we are in a natural realm where we don't understand spiritual things. Somebody say amen, so at least I know I got somebody out there that's following along with me. And the problem that we have is amen. The American church don't want anything to do with expanding the kingdom of God here on earth when it is our number one job. Go to Matthew chapter 5.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 5. Oh, this is really good. I should tape this. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, Lord. And seeing the multitudes, he went up in the mountain. When he set himself down, his disciples came unto him. He didn't speak to everybody. He spoke to the 12 leaders. And he opened his mouth. He said, blessed are the poor. Started, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What? Right there. Blessed are who? The poor in spirit. What do they mean? Not poor, not like I don't have any money, but humble, lowly. Blessed are the lowly in spirit who don't think too much of themselves and aren't trying to go out and get money for themselves and build big. Blessed are just, they got the kingdom of God. Blessed are they. It goes on down through. Keep going. All the blessed are they. Blessed are they. Oh. They points a finger right at you, Randy. Points a finger right at you, Dave Allison. Points the finger right at you, Chad. Points a finger at, points a finger at whoever and says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute and say, amen of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice, be seen, God, for great is your reward in heaven. In other words, the spirit realm, not heaven, the spirit realm. So great is your reward in the spirit realm. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you, because maybe you are the salt of the earth. But if salt, see, he's talking about a kingdom invading the earthly realm. He's not talking about taking people to heaven. He's talking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, you rule and reign right here, right now, on the earth. You do. And the church has taught us the exact opposite. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its savor, and you quit going around being salty, and you take religion out of the pulpit, and you don't talk about that kind of stuff, and you don't vote, and you don't get involved in politics. Well, then you, by golly, then how does the salt lose its savor? How can it ever be salty again? Huh? It's thenceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men, and all of a sudden Christianity becomes conservatism. Conservatism becomes republicanism, and you wake up and you can't figure out how in the hell did Mitch McConnell get in charge? It's good, man. You're the light of the world. You are me. But you put a light over it, you can't see it. Keep your Christianity inside the church. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a church building. They put it on the candlestick. But when you do that, you're going to go out and you start preaching the gospel. They're going to call you a fanatic and a religious fool, all that kind of stuff. They want you to keep it inside. They want you to keep it in the box. Jesus said, get it out of the box. It's a, oh my goodness. It's a authority. It's a reign. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords right now. And most of the modern American church can't wait to go to heaven when heaven's already come. Somebody tell me you love me. This is so clear.
Amen.
At the heart of the theme is the idea of God's messianic kingdom. It is a kingdom that will be ruled by God's appointed Messiah, who will not be just the redeemer of his people, but their king. So when John speaks of the radical nearness of his breakthrough, the intrusion of the kingdom of God, he's speaking of the kingdom of the Messiah. And at the end of Jesus' life, just as he was about to depart from his earth, his disciples had the opportunity to ask him one last question. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I can easily imagine it. Jesus must have been somewhat frustrated, thinking, oh, you got dudes. It ain't about Israel, dudes, Jesus wanted to say. Here's what I would expect him to say. How many times do I have to tell you, I'm not going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But that's not what he said. He gave a patient and gentle answer, and he said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. But you, Randy, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea. There we go again, Samaria, and then to the othermost parts on the earth. What did he mean? What was he getting at? When Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of, not in, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, this world did not produce my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. He's indicating that his kingdom was something spiritual that takes place in our hearts. It's a reign. It's not a place. Sorry to yell at you. The whole Testament called attention not to a kingdom that would simply appear in people's hearts, but to a kingdom that would break through into his world, a kingdom that would be ruled by God's anointed Messiah, the Old Testament. For this reason, during his earthly ministry, Jesus made comments such as, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Why? Because the kingdom of God brings spiritual authority. Similarly, when Jesus sent out 20 disciples on a preaching mission, he instructed them to tell the impenitent cities, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. Huh? It was here. You could have had a bite of it, but you didn't want it. You run into that every day. People who are rejecting the kingdom of God. Wait. What's the kingdom of God? Class, seeing if you're getting it. Righteousness, peace, Enjoy in the Holy Ghost. Do you guys know anybody that you come in contact with could use a little bit of righteousness, a little bit of peace, and a little bit of joy? That's the kingdom of God. It's in the hearts of men, available to the hearts of men right here and now. It ain't someplace we're going. The kingdom of God was near to them because the king of the kingdom was there. So when Jesus left, what did he do? Come on, man. When Jesus left, what did he do? He said that it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the comforter. And he that was simply with you, he's going to be in you. Does anybody think I'm making this up? You think I'm making this up? Jesus left and he sent his spirit. And his kingdom is ever expanding. When he came, Jesus inaugurated God's kingdom here on earth. He didn't consummate it. He started it. Randy, I know you're with me. Everybody else is probably gasping. And when he ascended into heaven, he went there for his coronation, for his investiture as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus' kingship is not something that remains in future or in heaven. Christ is king right now. He is in the seat of the highest cosmic authority right now. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto God's anointed Son, Matthew 28. I could go on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And most of a modern Christianity, come on now, I love all of you out there. Most of modern American Christianity, worldly Christianity, they're not teaching occupation. They're teaching evacuation. Vinny, that was a boom.
Boom.
Modern American Christianity is not teaching occupy. Occupy till I come. Why? Because the kingdom of God's within. Kingdom of God is within you. Occupy till I come. Pastor Bill Dunphy went and sat 4 months in jail, and the kingdom of God was within him. It's the only thing that sustained him. Cal Zastro, locked in jail for 101, however many days it was, the only thing that sustained him was the kingdom of God, which was within him. It wasn't someplace he was going. It was within him. He took it, and he shared it with everybody he met, and some of them came into the kingdom, and not everybody did because they didn't get it, but he in jail, expanded the kingdom of God. Because why? God rules in the hearts of men. We can't wait to go to heaven when Jesus himself said, I'm going to put heaven in you. Wow, huh? Wow. And I hate to tell you this. Yes, Mel, we're image bearers. I hate to tell you this because this is starting another fight. We're Christ's body. We're not his bride. We're his body, folks. We are his body. What do you mean? His spirit indwells me. I'm the body of Christ. I am. He's in me. He's the head. I'm the body. Why is this so hard for us to understand? We're looking for an earthly kingdom. The kingdom's within you. Think how many people you pass every day who have no understanding of the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to, come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing worse than pickled, faced Christians telling everybody, follow the rules, obey the rules, put your hair in a bun. Well, the only thing worse than that is those who go out there and swing flags and inside the church and hide from the world and think they're advancing the kingdom of God. When Jesus himself, if he could get into you, would say, do me a favor, will you get out of the church? Would you please get out of the church? Would you go into all the world and teach them to observe all I commanded you? Would you do that for me? Would you do that for me? They call that the Great Commission. Go ye out of your church, because the kingdom is within you. Get out of your church, go into all the world and teach them all about me, observe me, and how they can have righteousness, peace, and joy. Would you go do that? Hey, by the way, they're going to hate you. Just want you to know they're going to hate you. Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who's going to also trying to get their heart as well. The devil's trying to get them through pornography, divorce, and well, the devil's trying to get all of them. But you can go into all the world and you teach them to observe what I've commanded you. Some are going to get it. And we're preaching the gospel of heaven and hell. Receive Jesus so you can go to heaven. No. Receive Jesus so the kingdom can come within you. Righteousness, peace, enjoy. I'll take a breath. I got more. Go ahead, Randy. I haven't even got to Ephesians yet.
Coach, that's what I have to say. You have laid such a great preface for Ephesians. You've laid a foundation here, Coach. When we read that, now we have the basis, the premise that will explode that meaning when those words come off the page, Coach. I appreciate you. This is awesome.
We're supposed to expand it, Randy. This righteousness, this peace, and this joy in the Holy Ghost, I'm supposed to be giving it to everybody I know, not rules and regulations and going to heaven. That's all benefit of it when I receive Christ. But folks, thy kingdom come. It's already come. I'm the body of Christ. I'm not the bride. The bride is the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, whatever. The New Jerusalem, descending out. Folks, he's going to create a brand new world. At some point, a new realm. And whether you know it or not, if you're born again of the kingdom of God, you are already in that new realm. The kingdom has come. It's in you. And at the end of the days, when he establishes this new kingdom, it ain't a new one. It's the one you're already in. He's reestablishing the real one.
Which that's everywhere. Facts. That's
new
facts.
Heaven and a new earth. Well, we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Folks, am I making this up? Do you think I'm making this stuff up? Book of Revelation says we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Who is? Those of us who are in the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what it says. It doesn't say the church is the bride of Christ. I don't understand how it works, but I'm going to tell you this. We're going to stand individually before God as a part of this wedding, marriage supper of the Lamb, which we have been invited to, and watch this new kingdom come. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm going to tell you this. 90% of what they're teaching in the church, me in the church, I can't find it. Jeff, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, great show.
I just hope it makes people think. You don't have to agree with me. I just want you to think. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, the thing is that just like in Acts 8:1, you mentioned earlier, or 1:8 rather, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. When people have the Holy Spirit might be in you, but the Holy Spirit needs activated. So you don't have the kingdom of God until it's activated. I'll give you an example. People pray to God, and then they say in Jesus' name, amen. But they leave the Holy Spirit. They leave one third of the Trinity out of their thinking and their daily thinking. That one third, that Holy Spirit needs to be activated in order for that kingdom of God to be recognized.
We don't even know. Jeff, we don't even know we have that authority. See, they haven't.
Right.
Hey, Spencer, scroll down to the bottom of this and then work up. I want to show people something. Scroll at the bottom of that one. Okay, now scroll up a little bit. Keep going, Spence. Up a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Keep going, one more. Okay, the kingdom of God trumps every earthly kingdom. Folks, are you listening to me? The kingdom of God right now trumps every earthly kingdom. Hang on, what's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What are we supposed to do with this kingdom? Go into all the world and teach them to observe all this, huh? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay. I owe allegiance to American flag, but I have a higher allegiance to Christ because he's my king. So I had a dilemma. I didn't want to violate the law of the United States. I didn't want to communicate that the kingdom of God is subordinate to human government. Folks, we do that. We do that all the time when we try to get the government's approval of what the Lord's already told us to do. Scroll on down. We experience this conflict of kingdoms when Jesus tells us to pray, "Your kingdom come." What does this mean? What are we praying for when we say this, "Thy kingdom come"? See, there's a logic that runs through a ribbon through the Lord's Prayer. Each of the petitions is connected to the others. The first petition, "Hallowed be your name," which is a plea that the name of God would be regarded as holy. Manifestly, unless and until the name of God is regarded as holy, his kingdom will not and cannot come into this world. But we who do regard his name as holy, we're already in the kingdom. Scroll on down. John Calvin said, it has the task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, our families, our schools, and our checkbooks, because God in Christ is now king over every sphere of your, life. He is king and Lord over it, whether you make him that or not. So we have a government that's given away $42 trillion to people who are dead. How's that? Well, because the church doesn't want to expand the kingdom. Church wants to get out of here. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the King. So I'm not going to be able to stand in front of the Lord at that great end of morning. The Lord says, "Coach Dave, you did a really, really good job. You had a great show down there. I watched it whenever I could. But coach, with all that blather and that loud mouth running of your chops down there, hey, coach, what'd you do about the fact they were cutting penises off little boys?" So, well, Lord, I personally, I thought it was wrong. I used to tell everybody it was wrong. He said, "Yeah, I know that. I heard you. You were good at that. You're a big talker. You're really good at it. What do you do, coach? What did you do to stop it?" And I'm going to say, my pastor told me we're not supposed to get involved with politics. Was he king of kings or not? Oh, Donald Trump's above Jesus? Nancy Pelosi, she's above Jesus? Is that what you're telling me, coach? The ballot box, it's above Jesus? Coach Dave, I put the church here on earth to expand the kingdom. You guys are supposed to be ruling and reigning. You guys are. Did you do that when you were down there? Oh, no, but I waved flags and I tithed. And I was nice to people. Okay. Go on, Dale.
Well, whatever you do, coach, if you haven't stirred the pot enough, don't talk about gopher wood.
I don't know if I can work that in here today, man. I don't even know if I can. That's an inside joke. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. Come on, we got 8 minutes. I'm going to shut up. I'll hear from you. I don't know if I'm right or not. I don't know if I'm right. I'm going to tell you this. I would bet everything I have in my pocket, nothing, that the church is not the bride of Christ. How can the church be the bride of Christ when we're the body of Christ? How does that work? Say, what do you mean, coach? Oh, yeah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. What's the bride of Christ? Oh, the new Jerusalem coming down, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. The new Jerusalem coming down, that's the bride. And the bride's going to marry the body. Oh! Well, they didn't teach me that in my Baptist church. Vinny.
Because if the bride's going to marry the body, that means heaven's going to be ridden upon the earth. That's what it kind of sounds like to me.
Well, the kingdom's within you, Vinny. Isn't that what it says?
Amen, brother.
Kingdom ain't coming. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And it came. It's in us. Oh, my goodness. Tim Tuba, straighten me out, Tim.
Hey, the only thing I'm going to say is King Trump. His sway is being felt throughout the land.
Say the first part again. King what?
King Trump. King Trump, his sway. You know, it's permeating.
It is. It is. It is. Oh, I could go. I could go on. I could go on. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. I just wanted to come on this one. And you know, the Bible is repetition and pattern. And what I think we should look back at when we're having this struggle, am I the bride? Am I the body? What am I doing? Look, okay, there's other examples, but I'm going to use this one because everybody knows it. So what did God do? God created Adam, right? And then through a series of events decides it's not good for man to be alone, right? Everybody with me? So then what does he do? He puts Adam into this deep sleep. From Adam's body, he takes something. From his body, he takes something and makes it his bride. So this Bible is so much deeper than just words on a piece of paper. You have to understand where they come from, how it all relates to his plan as a whole. And he is going to take something out of the body and make it his bride. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Prepare. That means that he hadn't, I'm going to prepare a place. It means it's something that he was going to do. He hadn't done it yet. So by just saying, okay, A or B, yes, it's A and it's B. God is like that. He doesn't have to work on one plane. He can work horizontally with people and he can work vertically between the spirits. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. And just like I explained with Adam, how he got his bride, Eve, but the bottom line is he has given us instructions. And for some of us, it's only just to open our mouth. There's really not a lot I can do about these crazy parents who think it's okay to go chop things off of their children. I can open my mouth. That's really all I can do about it. If not, you have violated the kingdom that you are in and you will be imprisoned. That's what God wants for you? Okay. But if it's not, that's okay too.
So when we think about Jesus and this whole story and everything we're reading, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have lights. They didn't have computers. They didn't have cell phones. Yet all of the stuff that he said is so relevant still today. It's making it more and more real to us today. And sometimes I think we're still back just with dial phones.
He's got the AI advanced supercomputer. He can put that to shame.
He's always had it. He's always had it, right? Randy.
Coach, this, the metaphor of the husband and the wife, the bride, and all that, just let that go. Let that go. All he's saying is it's a covenant.
Yeah,
it's a covenant.
It's one we understand.
Don't worry about the words. Just see the covenant. So, Coach, Look at this picture. Jesus gets on the cross. He connects heaven and earth. It is finished. What? The redemption of heaven and earth. He has a title of the earth.
The kingdom has come.
Okay, so then what's he do? He resurrects, proves he's God, but he has to ascend to the throne, Coach. And we know he's ascended and ruling. You can't prove to me he's king. He's out there wandering without the ascension. We have to see the ascension as the finish. He finished it all, Coach. The kingdom belongs to him. Heaven and earth, it's all his.
Amen. Kim, quickly, run out of time here.
Yes, the kingdom of God is at hand was said numerous times in the New Testament by Jesus.
It's within you and it's at hand.
Oh, it is here. Yes, exactly. It is already here.
It's here. The kingdom's come.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
It's come. Dale! Go, Dale.
Well, real quick, it's simple. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that is within it. So that is part of his kingdom because it's his. He created it. Absolutely 100%. We live on borrowed land and he holds all time and we live on borrowed time.
Because it is a It is a reign, not a realm. God, if we can understand this, right? It's not a realm. It's a reign. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King everywhere. He's Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords everywhere. The kingdom of God is the reign of Christ everywhere, including in your heart. It's
Boom.
Not one place we're going. See you tomorrow.